Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate.
So President Trump, whether in jest or not, there's been some conversation about this, wants to and proposes renaming. I say, if you are going to be against changing names, then you should be against changing names. Don't undo Denali to make it back to Mount McKinley, though I agree with that, and then turn around and ask me to rename something we've all come to expect as the Gulf of Mexico, no matter how much your historical justification might be. But my question for Mayor D.C. Reeves, who is here with me in studio, is there has been some talk. Apparently a guy in Mississippi, a legislator, actually filed a bill to do this several years ago. So Trump is not the originator of this idea. But what I see online a lot is the Gulf of Pensacola, which seems to have more historical justification to it since, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to not support that. I mean, anything, I feel like that's my job.
That would be the ultimate dig against St. Augustine coming from a guy who made the t-shirts
right.
That said.
Or we could do like Gulf of not St. Augustine.
Oh, that would be even better. The Gulf of not St. Augustine. Yeah. I love that.
That's on the other side or something. It's a long name. But so, all I think about is whatever the name is, just leave some funding for our local municipalities to change the maps out.
You know? There you go. That's because you're going to
have
to adapt to
the cost. That's all I'm
thinking
about is, yeah, what's it going to cost me to change the name?
Somebody did have a funny suggestion. Said, well, while we're at it, I mean, the moon's available as a naming. And, I mean, why should we call it the Atlantic Ocean? Why don't we call that the American Ocean? And then I say, well, the Pacific can become the West American Ocean. I mean, if we're going to go, I mean, let's go. You know, don't
you're changing the map once.
Yeah, change it every way you can do, you know. Yeah. Okay, so serious topics, though. Somebody texted, and I thought this was such a delightful idea to deal with a difficult thing. So we're talking about street bollards, talking about sidewalk bollards, talking about safety infrastructure downtown to protect people in major events. And how can we do that in a way that is placemaking instead of just security? And they said, well, we do have these pelicans. Is there an aesthetic way to even, I don't know, monetize them as something that people sponsor? You know, just thinking creatively about what won't just look like safety infrastructure, what will do the job and also beautify and also maybe generate revenue. I love the way that person's thinking.
Me too. That's an must be an entrepreneur. I like that.
Sounds like a leap project.
Exactly. That's insightful. I will say along those lines, one conversation we were having about the hashtag phase one, which is Main Street, eventually will happen, Palafox Foxes, to that exact point is what about big planters outside of, you know, instead of the tree being on grade in the ground, in the sidewalk, why not have a big planter that where the tree is really above you? And you see that all over the country where now those planters themselves become
part of the defense infrastructure.
Yeah, so we're having conversations about, how do we have a beautiful placemaking type walk on Palafox Street and also add some protection. So, but we'll add that to the list as well. I think that's a cool idea.
Let's see. Somebody else here says, why don't you give the owner of the Pensacola, by the way, your text to D.C. Reeves, who's here in studio with me for another 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes or so till 8:30. Text your questions, 437-1620. Why don't you give the owner of the Pensacola Grand Hotel an ultimatum to sell it, recondition it, or the city will purchase it? After that, what's the latest with the Port of Pensacola indoor pickleball courts? Yeah. That might be the easier one to start with, actually.
Yeah, because that's quick. The outdoor courts, the outdoor portion of pickleball will be done any month now. And I have to give this reminder because it comes up. This is completely privately funded. There is no taxpayer money going to this. We end up with an amenity at no taxpayer cost. This is privately operated and funded.
But it also will be a privately owned amenity, which means they have sort of, it's a club, not necessarily, it's not public courts.
Correct.
You should not expect to be able to just walk down and play pickleball there without paying perhaps a membership or whatever they're going to do.
The same way that Roger Scott Tennis Center is a public facility, but you also pay.
That's right.
So that's why, you know, it really doesn't, in a way, it's irrelevant. relevant.
Just like the golf course.
Exactly. Yeah. So
you can't just walk on the golf course and play.
Correct. So there'll be a fee. But it should be in the coming weeks. I think less than months in terms of having the outdoor courts completed. And then, of course, the phase two inside.
Because the building needs a lot of work.
Correct. All right.
And then the other one was the Pensacola Grand Hotel.
Yeah. So we have met with the owners and they've been.
Before you answer, I have a suggestion.
Go ahead.
Do it Trump style. Threaten military action.
Okay, well, I don't know if I've got the resources for that.
We have a pretty good SWAT team.
Yeah.
We have the Bearcat now. Yeah. I mean, you just aren't willing to embrace your Trump style.
Yeah, I see. All right. Well, if you'll take some notes for me and shoot me an email, I'll use them at the next press conference.
But back in the land of reality.
Yes. Yeah, so we've met with the owners, and listen, let's make one distinction here. This is private property. And our ability to enforce on private property comes down to code issues, mm-hmm. right? Because you can do what you want on your property. So there's a miss. We are not the Gestapo. We don't get to come to someone and say, we are going to now take your property because we don't like what's happening
there. An underutilized, beloved former institution does not justify public intervention unless there's code violations.
Correct. And in some cases, not that property, but some cases that is happening.
Sure.
And we are taking action. So that doesn't mean, let me be clear, that does not mean we aren't doing anything. We've met with the owners. They are continuing to condition the building. Mm-hmm. So they are keeping it up and not letting it fall into disrepair. We are working with them and working with our CRA to potentially incentivize some development there. There's some challenges to that. There have been several suitors that have looked at it. But there are challenges to it, from the age of the building, all those windows that were damaged during the hurricane. That is an expensive fix. So I certainly understand where the owner is at. But to answer the question, you will see in 2025 the city be proactive in helping get a suitor there and get that building back activated, because that is, at the end of the day, what we all want. The current owner, you, the citizen, and the city all want that activated, paying taxes, an amenity of the community,
right,
and
right.
hotel rooms. There's no reason we wouldn't. So we are going to be more proactive this year and say, what can we do as a CRA, as a city, to help incentivize getting somebody in there?
And presumably the owners do too. I mean,
correct.
You know, everybody
Absolutely.
Wins when that hotel is functioning as it's supposed yep. to function. We're talking with Mayor D.C. Reeves. We'll take a quick time out here to just get a traffic on the fives from John Pickens. John?
No accidents to report, but if you're approaching I-10 eastbound, approaching the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone, just minor delay. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, just a side note, we had been talking about Bourbon Street in New Orleans and the 10-mile-an-hour bollards, and somebody in law enforcement had texted me and said, do keep in mind that probably prior to this attack, the main thought was drunks, mm-hmm. drunk drivers.
Correct.
And so, you know, a 10 or 15 mile an hour resistant bollard is actually pretty functional to stop a drunk from accidentally doing something. But you got to think a whole different way when you're talking about terrorism defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that's the case with our bollards, right? I mean, I'd be shocked if the bollards that we use for gallery night are 90 miles an hour, right? I mean, this is the new world that we live in, and it's my job and our public safety job to adjust.
Somebody says 437-1620 if you have questions or you want to ask the mayor something. Standing water on 9th Avenue just south of the Krispy Kreme after a big rain. Main Street by the steel shop, the SKF now, I guess, used to be Bell. Both places after heavy rain a few days ago had standing water.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ongoing, almost never-ending process of handling our stormwater, but thoughts yeah. about these two places?
And remember, when we went for a stormwater assessment at the city, you know, we get amnesia really quick about some of the big problem areas that we have. And the reason we have a stormwater assessment is to help. We are not immune at the city of Pensacola to inflation, to labor costs, mm-hmm. to all of those things. So what's the win out of that increase? Let's go to the second example, Bell Steel. We are about to go underway with a stormwater project that goes down B Street, down to Joe Patty's. That will have positive stormwater outcome for 1,667 houses. So if you did the math of what they've paid in stormwater assessment and the actual multi-millions of dollars of cost of that project, those houses got about, you know, a 40-something, 80-something year mm-hmm. you know, return on their investment for what they've been paying for that stormwater assessment. And that's how it works. We've got to have the money to go solve these problem areas. I'll have to look at the Krispy Kreme one. Further south on 9th, closer to Admiral Mason, we're doing something there. But that B Street, everything kind of north of Joe Patty, south of Garden there, all through the early letter streets, we'll see a significant improvement all along there when that project's complete, and that is going in this year.
And I do want to mention something. I was looking at the agenda for the county that comes up on Thursday. Something I didn't know was in the works, and it's not an in the city project, but it will benefit the city. Is Carpenter's Creek? They've got $6 million coming for basically. I guess it's like soil intrusion prevention and things all along the headwaters that are, it's actually pretty close to where I live, but it's over like west of, Creighton or west of, Davis, and north of, my brain all of a sudden, but
airport?
Like
north of airport,
more farther north than that, right by West Florida High School, like where they really, really start is they're going to put in a whole bunch of, you know, mitigation measures there for $6 million, which it's in the county, but of course, you know, that affects everybody down river from them. So, or down, water.
Of
from
course.
Them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt Posner, you know, and I, we actually were just texting the other day.
Matt's the head of the Pensacola Perdido Bay Estuary Program.
Yeah, we got the national designation, which is super exciting. And yeah, that you talk about city county collaboration. The health of Carpenter's Creek affects all of us, all the way out to our bay. So, you know, we're certainly in contact and proactive with helping them.
All right, we're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Text me your questions. I'll do my best to get as many of them in as we can before the end of the half hour here. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you need to do any construction work on your own home, or you need supplies, hammers, or advice, I would say this about Pensacola Hardware. It's not just the stuff they sell, but they're there for you to ask questions and have expertise. You know, a lot of times you go to a store and you don't even bother asking because, you know, you think you can find it better on YouTube and the people in the store may not know anything. Go to Pensacola Hardware, they know. And they'll be able to advise you whether you're doing a home repair or whether you're building homes for a living. They know that's their bread and butter, and they've been doing it for forever, since 1851, before the Civil War, before there was Levi's, one of the 50 oldest companies in the U.S., the oldest in the state of Florida. Pensacola Hardware, they understand, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 174 years.
The new year means new health goals, not just for your body, but your finances too. Your personal info is in so many places that are outside of your control. It only takes one mistake, and not even your mistake, to expose you to identity theft and lost funds. If your identity's stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your subscription money back, and resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your new year's goals with LifeLock. Visit LifeLock.com and save up to 40% off your first year with promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Winter Restaurant Week, Pensacon at the Fish House, Valentine's Day Dinner, and Aria at Jackson's Steakhouse, and the Naples to Napa Food and Wine Event at Angelina's, on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Chief, you can take this job and you can shovel it.
All right, we're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. He's here in studio with us for another 6 minutes, a full hour worth of just taking your questions and answering them. 437-1620. this is a New York City question. You ready?
Okay.
What do you think about congestion pricing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the variable rate parking is, it's not congestion, but it's sort of in that same philosophy, right?
Yeah, I guess the philosophy you're referring to is when demand starts to overtake infrastructure,
right? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And then how do you pay for the infrastructure moving forward? This is not an endorsement of congestion pricing.
Right, let me, I know.
Yeah, don't. I don't want to leave this studio and read on Facebook that I'm about to have congestion pricing.
Even when you say it right, there's going to be people on Facebook who get it wrong. So you know. Just do your best.
So in that case, I hate it. Okay, okay, yeah, right. In New York, how about that? Yeah.
Let's see. Well, that's different. I'm just trying to work through some of these texts, the ones that are the most relevant. Just as a note, because you mentioned it yesterday, and I think it is worth reminding people, the city at the airport is putting in a cell phone lot.
Correct.
At just to the right when you come in off of airport, which will give you a place where you can sit and wait for your person who's ready to be picked up without having to tie up all the spaces at the curb, which also enhances security too, right?
Yeah, this is along the same theme of safety is a change of behavior. And right now, what we're all used to is being able to park at the curb for 30 minutes waiting on our loved one to get out of the, you know, the baggage claim. That is not normal. Go to any big city, we are an outlier in that. And
right.
Why are we an outlier? Well, we can't really address it because we don't have anywhere to put anybody. So yeah, it'll start Monday. It take four or five weeks, mid-February. We'll have that. So that cell phone lot will be right when you come into the airport on the right. And then now we'll be able, our security folks will be able to say, hey, listen, you've been here 20 minutes. So, I can understand there'll be some anxiety with that change of behavior. But now that we'll have that infrastructure in place, it should run the way it should really be running.
The white zone is for loading and unloading only.
That's
the
correct.
Red zone is.
That's correct.
John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're at the intersection of 29 and Burgess Road, we're seeing some delays both eastbound and westbound on Burgess, so be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves is here in studio with me. We've talked about a lot of things. One of the things that I do want to ask, this is an easy one of a sort, but it's one I'm sure you get many times. When are you going to bring the Pelican drop back?
Ooh, I know that's a community conversation.
It is.
From expense and one that just got significantly more expensive
because
about 5 days ago.
Because of security, right,
correct.
Yeah.
So that needs to be a county, a county commissioner saying here's $50,000 is not going to be how this happens. This is going to be a sheriff and police department and tourism. And if for this to happen, I'm philosophically okay with it, of course, but the finance can't land just on the backs of the city.
And in that same direction, you mentioned this yesterday that, because of the increased costs that are going to come from hardening our infrastructure to protect crowds post New Orleans, the county is going to really need to think about, what are their obligations, because they get benefit from the bed tax and the sales tax and, all the economic things that happen as a corollary of festivals, events,
correct,
and parades. To what degree should the city be shouldering all of these costs simply because it happens in the city? To what degree should the county be shouldering these costs because it happens in their county, too?
That's correct. Yeah, exactly. That's something we need to talk about this year for sure.
Very good. Somebody says, no questions, but I want to express appreciation for the mindset of triage, stewardship, and thoughtful action that undergirds the mayor's entire approach. It's great to have a mayor who is treating the city like it's a home and a business.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would add. So,
well, hey, thank you.
No,
that's very kind.
Second,
I always appreciate that.
I very much second that. Portland Lose.
Yes.
You're out to bid, right, for the pads, and there were three locations.
That's correct. Yep. MLK Plaza for Palafox Market right there at Gregory, the skate park, and we are partnering with UWF to put one in Museum Plaza right behind the State Museum there, kind of side-saddled where Little Theater is. So that'll be helpful for Palafox Market South as well as the events that take on – or that happen at Museum Plaza. So, bids are out to pour the pads and install them at those three. So we have the Lose. They're ready to go. So once we had the pads, we put them in. We just didn't like the price that we got the first time, which was $140,000.
Yeah, I remember that conversation at the city council.
I was going to say, I'm going to go get hammer and nails myself at that price.
That was my thought about why we couldn't build a connection between I-10 and the back of Navy Federal. Me and a few friends and some Bobcats can do it, and to go onto the visitor center. They said no. Anyway, roundabout at Barrancas and Main. While you're in there doing stormwater, can we get rid of the railroad tracks and think more strategically about that whole area? That sounds a bit impossible to me, but you're the mayor.
Yeah, there's actually rail abandonment programs. I've had several conversations with the rail owner of the one that goes along Main.
Yeah.
We have a general understanding that it's not needed east. We could go from A, B, C, D.
Okay.
But because the lumber yard on Main uses it still and they need to be able to turn around.
Okay.
I'd love to get to E because of the there's a light there at Shoreline Foods. But so we've actually had, I'm not saying it's gone anywhere yet, but we've had some philosophical conversations about taking some of that and maybe turning that into some pedestrian space and something a little more safe.
We covered a lot tonight. You have the legislative delegation meeting. I think you're the second speaker. You get to follow Wes Moreno.
Okay.
You know what you're asking for?
Yeah, lots of stuff. Yeah. Money.
Tune
money,
in.
Andrew.
Money, okay.
And airport.
All right. So anyway, that's tonight, by the way, at the WSRE studios at PC, Pensacola State College. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Out-of-control wildfires in and around Los Angeles have destroyed no one knows how many homes so far. More than 30,000 people are evacuated.
A lot of them simply could not move their vehicles because there was so much traffic. They got out and just ran for their lives with their children, with their pets. I think by the end of this, we are going to see numbers in the hundreds in terms of residences destroyed, businesses destroyed.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt in Pacific Palisades, California. President-elect Trump is asking the Supreme Court to stop sentencing in his criminal hush money case in New York City.
A New York State appeals court judge rejected his attempt to get Friday's sentencing postponed while he appeals Judge Juan Merchan's decision to uphold the historic verdict against him. Merchan has indicated he won't impose jail time, fines, or probation.
Fox's Lillian Wu in New York. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a cold morning. We've got 30 degrees right now and sunshine in Pensacola. There is some new information on that fatal accident in downtown Pensacola overnight. Getting this in the last hour from PPD's Mike Wood, who tells us the police officer had not yet initiated a traffic stop when that vehicle crashed into the pole at Pace and Romana Streets. The officer had reportedly made a U-turn and was attempting to catch up to the vehicle, and that's when the driver sped up and crashed. One occupant of the vehicle died at the scene. The other died shortly after that crash at the hospital. Well, you'll probably be seeing a different look on Escambia County Sheriff's Office cruisers soon. Sheriff Chip Simmons says they're going to be saving money by moving to solid white vehicles with green lettering instead of paying more for those two-toned vehicles.
Yeah, you know, we have the green and white cars, but we had to pay like $2,500 per car to get the green fronts and the green backs and then to be green and white. So we decided...
Matches the unis and look pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And so we thought, well, let's just change to white cars and create a car that still looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Still is identifiable as a sheriff's office car. And it looks, the first car we put out, all the deputies seem to love it. It's, you know, they take a lot of pride in the cars that they... in their ride.
And the first solid white cruiser vehicle has been added to the sheriff's office fleet, and others are going to be switched over as those vehicles age out and get replaced. Sheriff Simmons says it's just one of several changes that he's made to make things simpler and a bit more cost effective. Well, times are tough at the Escambia Children's Trust. The organization has lost another board member. David Peden stepped down when his term expired December 31st. The board now has only 8 members. 5 are required for a quorum. The next Escambia Children's Trust board meeting is scheduled for January 14th of 2025. Still unanswered questions after 2 bodies were discovered in the landing gear compartment of a JetBlue airplane this week. 2 male stowaways were found in that plane on Monday night.
The individuals who deceased are both males. Beyond that, their identities at this time are unknown. That is one of the questions that detectives are seeking to answer.
That is Carrie Codd from the Broward Sheriff's Department. JetBlue also investigating to find out just where those stowaways boarded the plane. It did make stops earlier in the day in Salt Lake City and also in Jamaica. Some Florida lawmakers standing behind the man that they say is Venezuela's real president-elect. Senator Rick Scott and other Florida Congress members meeting yesterday with Edmundo Gonzalez. He ran for president of Venezuela last summer and against incumbent Nicolas Maduro. According to the U.S., he won. Maduro, though, planning to take the oath of office on Friday. Gonzalez says he plans to do the same. Senator Scott says Gonzalez is the one with the right to be inaugurated due to his victory and a clear mandate from the Venezuelan people. It's 8:35 right now, News Radio 92.3, and John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Got a couple of accidents for you. If you're on West Michigan Avenue and Denver Avenue, there's a vehicle crash that just happened there. No roadblock is associated with that one. Also, an accident just happened at Pace and LaRue streets. We'll get more information on that, but just wanted you to be aware. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will see a mostly sunny sky day today with temperatures staying chilly in the 50s for your highs. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 28 degrees. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 51. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 40 degrees. For your Friday, we will be a bit warmer with a high near 58 degrees, 80% chance of some showers. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Sunshine right now. We've got 31 degrees in Pensacola, 36 in Milton, 31 in Gulf Breeze right now. Our next news is at 9 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning, taking a look at our markets at the opening bell. The Dow is down 99 points, 42,429. S&P down just under 8 points at 59.01. The NASDAQ is down 14 points at 19,475. The 10-year bond rate up just a bit, 4.712%. Gold prices up 1280 at 2678. Silver prices up 28 cents at 3097. And it looks like crypto is pretty much down for the most part. Bitcoin's down 826, 95,569. Ethereum's down, Solana's down. No change in Dogecoin today. The only crypto that's not seeing a loss right now is XRP, which is up 6 cents at 234. Our next news at 9. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. This is Your Money Now.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
So this new Dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right. I try to challenge myself to come up with the dumbest, the weirdest, the most unlikely. And John, you don't have to agree so emphatically,
oh,
John.
Oh, I'm just agree. Yes.
Me too.
Sorry.
Why are you both nodding so vehemently? It's so disrespectful. Okay. All right. So here we go. again, I warn you. This is my way of warning you in advance. I don't know if this one's going to be entertaining or not, but here goes. We're going to make our best of it. Do you have a favorite burner on the stove? 437-1620, 437-1620. This is not a conversation about gas versus electric. Gas is better, but I'm forced by my wife in, you know, the gulag of my home where I do all the cooking to use an electric. Whatever. Anyway, I'm not bitter. I want to know, is there one of the burners that you might have never thought about it before, but when you think about it, you're like, I do have a favorite burner. I mean, I love all my children equally, but I love this one a little bit more. John, do you have a favorite burner on the stove?
Of course I do.
Which one?
Position. The one that works.
Oh, that's... You make enough money to buy a better stove.
Bottom left.
That's sad.
I actually
that's not
pay
good. That's not good.
But
bottom left.
Do you have a bottom left? So yeah. Near you, like...
Plus
near
I'm
you
left-handed.
To the left.
So
oh, because you're left-handed. Okay, oh, that's interesting. Okay, you're left-handed, so... You want the handle on to the left of the stove. Is there counter space or is there some like a refrigerator or something?
Counter space.
Okay, so that makes sense because yes. The handle's going to overhang the counter. Okay, all right. I'm with you. I see your logic there. Well done. Meg?
Previous apartment, front left.
Okay.
And where I am now, front right.
Why?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
But I just realized that as you asked that question.
That you've changed.
That I've changed.
That the preference didn't move with you.
No, I think I think you're onto something because I think it has to do with counter space.
Okay, where the counter makes it conducive to overhang the handle because you don't want the handle hanging over where you're standing because then you bump it and everybody dies.
That
and
also when I'm cooking something and then I'm going to be removing it and putting it into a dish or a bowl or something like that. So I have more space on that right side.
Okay, all right, I see you on that.
But front right, I hardly ever use the back burners unless I'm cooking for Thanksgiving.
If stove burners, if the stove elements wear out over time, and they do, I've actually replaced two of my life. They do wear out over time. Maybe it's a bad stove. On our stove, the one that will last through the apocalypse is rear right because the only thing that ever goes rear right is the kettle when it's just sitting there. That's
true.
It.
That's true.
That never gets used for any. I mean, even like Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, when I'm cooking up a storm in there, back right, I never gets used for anything. It might as well not exist. It's wasted space.
Hmm.
So, but I may be alone on this. Now, in our house, we do have a weird one, okay? And this is purely a byproduct of the fact that my wife typically cooks her own food because she only eats like a couple of things, spaghetti, and I cook the hamburgers, but she'll make spaghetti or chili mac a lot. And so she, front right is her burner.
Your wife and I have a lot in common.
She has cupboard space, she has refrigerator space, and she has a burner on the stove. And mm-hmm. I own everything else because I do the cooking for everybody and sometimes for her. But kind of like in your bed, you have a side? Okay, unless you're weird, I don't know. Anybody who doesn't have a side, it's a couple. That would be interesting. But in my case, it's the two left burners are mine because nobody uses the back right, and front right is her burner. So there we go. That's in our house.
Interesting.
437-1620, 437-1620. Do you have a favorite burner? Let's see. Somebody has front left is for cooking, back left is for my teapot. Oh, you know, that's true. I'm a front left primarily, but the back left is where I heat up the kettle.
I couldn't possibly tell you a reason why. I want to know if we have a psychologist listening that could interpret this, because I'm thinking
there's
something very Freudian about these choices. I'm starting to wonder. I'm just having a feeling.
We got a text in from our good friend John Hutchinson. Front left, closest to the spice cabinet. Okay, all right. And yeah, you know, where you're going to pour things, where you're going to sort of, if you're prepping, how you load things onto the stove. I don't know if there's a rationale to it. I kind of feel like most of the rationales would come in after. I think mostly you just get into a habit. And however, habits are just, you did it a bunch of times, and then that's just the way you do it forever. But I'm open to suggestions if people think that there's a real reason for it. Somebody says front being toward the oven door. Okay, right, exactly. Right. And front left is their preference. A lot of front left, okay, interesting. Is it a left brain, right brain thing? You know, the artists like the... which I always forget which way this goes. Oh. It's the left would be the artists and the right would be the logical people, right? Isn't that?
Well, then there's that whole political thing.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. Only liberals use the left burners. And all of all conservatives should be using the right-hand burners.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go there, right and left has a new meaning
today. It's actually like the Nolan scale. I don't know if you know the Nolan scale is the way to think about political. I've super nerded off topic now. It's economic liberty versus social or personal liberty and how that interacts with conservatives and which... All right, forgive
me. Relate that to which burner you're using.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Is the libertarian burner is front left, and
what about the independent?
The communist burner is back right.
Where would the independent burner
be? There's no such thing as independent.
The microwave.
437 said because
that
of the microwave.
Is good. That was good.
I've
already had my coffee. Look out, y'all.
No. Undecideds would be the microwave.
Ooh.
Because they're also worse cooks. 437.
No,
16.
They'd be the crock pot.
All the flavors in together. You got a phone call that somebody texted or called
they,
in with
they
an
agreed with the front left burner.
Front left is the one. Okay.
And then spices or sausages on the back. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sausages?
So I would That's what they said?
Oh, sausages?
Yeah. No, I will say this. I haven't adapted behavior to this observation, but because cabinets overhang the stove, right? You have cabinets above the stove.
My microwave's above the stove.
Well, and a microwave. Okay, but okay. Microwave, and then around that there's cabinets, okay?
Right?
In our house. Steam of various sorts is damaging to cabinets. Mm. The farther back on the stove you're cooking something that's going to produce heat and steam, the more I think you're kind of damaging the cabinets over time. Also, like oil and things like that that might splatter, is it better to have it towards the back so it only splatters the wall and not your chest or whatever, or the floor? I don't know. These are things you might think about if you're really trying to strategize it, which none of us are trying to do. We're just talking. 437, 16, 20. It is now. Every word was never a word in the beginning. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. There's an accident that's not going to cause you any delays, but I want you to be aware of it on West Michigan Avenue and Denver Avenue. But other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. The question of the day is, which burner, if you have a preference, which is your favorite burner? We'll come back to that in just a second. Speaking of stove burners, I don't know. Frontier Motors has a lot of great cars, okay? They have a lot of great cars, good quality used cars, 2, 3, 4 years old. We actually bought our Honda Odyssey with a year and 13,000 miles on it. And it was a steal. It was great. I mean, I don't mean we stole it. I mean, they got it at a great price from an auction down in Orlando, and we got it, and we're super happy. But cars that are sort of like gently used, one owner typically, they will warranty them to 100,000 miles and 10 years because you know you're getting a good car. And if there's anything wrong with it, they'll take care of you because they actually called me 6 months after and a year after we bought the car to ask if anything was wrong that they could fix. And they wound up replacing the physical key on the fob that we never used, but it didn't work, and they replaced it on them. No problem. That's who they are. They want to help. They want to be so trusted and reliable that you come back to them again and again, and of course we will. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Okay, back to the most important conversation of the day, which is not the Gulf of America, which is not the military intervention in Greenland, Canada, or the Panama Canal, but is whether you have a favorite beloved stove burner. Which burner is your favorite on the stove? 437-1620. Somebody says, I like the one that's front right because it fits more of the pans the best. I could see. Now, I don't know about you. Like, electric stoves, at least, sometimes have, like, the double burner, mm-hmm. the interior and the outside.
Right.
And then sometimes they have, like, the... And also gas stoves have, like, the extra hot one. You know, the one that's, like... heats faster or whatever. And I think sometimes you pick the one that's like that because it has some feature or whatever. That feels unfair to me because that's fine, but that's not identified with a position. You know, the double burner could be the bottom, the near right, could be mm-hmm. the near left, whatever. So I don't introduce so much chaos to my conversation here.
I have a note for you.
Oh, do tell.
I did look up strategize just because I was curious. It is not officially a word, but you were close. Strategize.
Yeah.
That's the word.
I'm aware. I'm aware that strategize is a word, Meg. But every word.
I just wasn't sure based on this conversation.
This is not Scrabble. I can make up words. And
I'm a word person.
Every word starts off being not a word in the beginning.
Okay.
All of them because that means there's food cooking, LOL. My favorite burner is bottom right and always has been. I'm right-handed. Okay, I see that. Actually, being right-handed, follow me, being right-handed might work better for the left side burner because then you're prepping to the left on the counter and your pans are close to you on the stove so you can do both with the right-handedness. 4, 3, 7, 16. Somebody, how many headaches? Raise your hand. How many headaches? Front right for me. Wife likes front left, but we're both Republicans. LOL. I don't know. You might look for a receipt on that one. Front left element. I'm right-handed with counter space on both sides. I also use the other elements for counter space when cooking. Oh, that's actually a good side question. Do you use the stove as counter space when you're not cooking?
Yes.
Oh, heck yes.
I do, but I don't trust it because I don't trust electric stoves. Having exploded a pie pan one time by turning on the wrong burner, many, many, many times turning on the wrong burner. I hate electric stoves. Really, really hate them. Love you, dear. But
you know
I feel
there's like colors and little
shut up
pictures on there.
I don't want your stupid common sense solution to my incompetence. I'm trying to have a moment of self pity here.
Whenever I, for example,
I can rationally know that the front right burner has been off for a day. But if I have a spatula to sit on top of the stove, I'm putting it in the middle where there is no element, not putting it over where there is an element, but it happens to be off. I don't trust the offness, personally.
Well, you also live with a lot of other people that could have possibly used it.
None of them touched the stove, except my wife, and I know what she would do.
I was trying to help you. I was trying to help you.
Don't spell check me and give me good advice, Meg. I'm not interested in all that. If you're a righty, use the burners. If you're a lefty, use the right burners. Okay. Right rear to keep it as far away as possible from the children. Oh, that's a good point. Safety note for the, you know, away from the children. Let's see, Sarah. Somebody says, so it doesn't depend on the size of your pot or pan. Yes. And sometimes if the pan or the pot is too big, you can't get it on the back burner because the back burner is too close to the back of the stove. And so you have to use one of the front ones for a larger thing sometimes.
Well, now that you say that, I don't think I've ever used a frying pan to cook eggs or something on the back burner. I've always used the front.
Interesting. See what we're delving into here? All the stuff comes up in this conversation. Front left, it's the largest one. Everyone uses the front left because safety tells us to keep the handle over the stove so it won't get knocked off. We usually are a one-pot society, so that's where we start. Okay. Before I had an electric kettle, I used the back left for the teapot, too. How many texts? I got so many. Somebody says, Andrew, we're on your side. It is from the SNL era and strategery with George Bush and Dana Carvey and all of that, which is what I was hinting at. Let's see. And we're just out of time. But thank you for all the texts. Y'all are the best. 852 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sarah, it's been ages. How are things?
Hey, Lisa. Things are okay, I guess. Things with Mark haven't felt the same lately.
Oh, Sarah, that is so common. It could just be ED or low testosterone.
Really? I didn't even think about that. I was blaming myself.
Yeah, Jim had ED and low T. I thought I was doing something wrong, but it's just a medical condition. Now he's passionate about his job again, lost a little weight, and even put on some muscle since he went to Wave Men's Health. They specialize in ED and low T treatments, and you should see the way he looks at me now.
Wave Men's Health delivers powerful, personalized treatments to reignite the passion in your relationship, even if other pills and treatments haven't done the job. Don't let ED or low T put a damper on what should be the best time of the year.
I forgot how we used to feel. I got my husband back.
Dial 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today and rekindle the magic because you both deserve to feel the joy this season brings. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And an old sail-winding, bushwhacking, horn-swoggling crocker-crocker is going to roll away Biscuit Cutter.
Now, who can argue with that?
Oh. Okay.
That's from Blazing Saddles. It's from the town hall in Blazing Saddles.
Hey, I'm trying to be crunk.
437-1620. Just like me, I'm always just trying to be crunk. 855 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news. So it's not a great show, but we're watching Only Murders in the Building, which is Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Great cast.
Yeah.
Great cast.
Yeah, and who was her name? She dated Justin Bieber for a little while. Selena Gomez. And the only reason I mention that is because it's kind of funny that, you know, Steve Martin is trying to, and Martin Short are trying to use the rando and ghosting and, you know, and of course getting it wrong, which is part of the comedy of, you know, old people trying to use the slang of the kids, which is an eternal problem. You know, back when cool was the new slang, back mm-hmm. when whatever, there's always been this issue. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We've got, if you're approaching I-10 eastbound, approaching the Scambia Bay Bridge, we've got a metal ladder that's in the middle of the roadway.
Not for long. Where is it exactly?
at the entrance of the Scambia Bay Bridge.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're going eastbound, there's a metal ladder there. So
wait, David, I thought was going to head out that way. David, did you not go and get the completely doesn't, obviously belongs to you. Did you get the ladder yet?
No, I haven't made it yet.
Is it worth going? Do we know? Is it, you know?
No, that one's already been claimed.
Oh.
Have you seen the price of ladders, Andrew?
No kidding, right? You know, street ladder, why not? I mean, somebody's got to claim it. You know,
yeah.
could be you. All right. Anything else, John? I kind of interrupted your traffic
report. Good.
Somebody texted earlier when I mentioned that I interrupted David and said, "You interrupt everybody."
What's my show?
Look, in fairness, I think if we're all being honest here, and I try to be, I interrupt myself as much as I interrupt anybody else. How many times have you heard me not finish a sentence? Because I'm just too busy to get to the next one. All the time. So, you know, I interrupt them, interrupt
that's
me.
Normal.
Interrupt with my own thoughts inside my head. The voices are arguing. 437-1620. Tonight is a legislative delegation meeting. And, you know, that's going to be, this is Escambia is tonight. And that is going to be held at the Pensacola State College at the WSRE building. So that's where all of your, like, local leaders, Wes Moreno, County Administrator for Escambia, Paul Fetzko and D.C. Reeves, sorry, Sam Young with Habitat and so forth. A bunch of people are going to, but individuals. Public comment from, you know, you can talk and say what you want the legislative delegation to do for you. So it's a public forum with your, in this case, it'll be Representative Salzman, Representative Andrade, and Senator Gates will all be there. Now, tomorrow night is actually the Santa Rosa County one, and that's going to be at St. Sylvester Church in Gulf Breeze. That's at, the time is not on here, but I had it written in my head. They're both starting at 5:30. I think that is correct. I don't have times in here. I think that's correct. Anyway, tomorrow night you're going to have, you know, Mayor Lindsay. I don't want a pre-program catastrophe, but Mayor Lindsay is going to be asking Alex Andrade for favors tomorrow night. Remember, she's blocked him on her cell phone as the mayor of Milton, and he's the city attorney for Milton. Now, he can separate roles. We'll see. That ought to be interesting. Anyway, that's tomorrow night. The Santa Rosa one is tomorrow. And, of course, Representative Rudman won't be there because he's no longer Representative Rudman, and Representative Salzman won't be there because she's only Escambia County. 437-1620 is my phone number if you have questions or comments at any time. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty do a fabulous job of this. They just, you know, one of the things that she just does is all the obvious stuff they tell you to do, she does. She's this is praise. She's just dumb enough to do all the obvious stuff. Like they tell you, hey, if somebody comes and takes a look at your home and they don't make an offer, call them or the realtor and find out why, because you might learn it's price, it's the way it looked at the curb. They didn't like the shingles. You know, they didn't like the fern. There was a smell. Whatever. You learn for future showings, but you also learn for maybe you can turn them into a sale. Well, we can fix that, or we can remediate that, or we can change the price. If you're, it's a little thing, but it's an obvious thing that not everybody does. She does, and, you know, she's selling 200 or so homes a year. Guess she's good at it. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Meg's up next with Pep Talk.